understanding it. They're misproducing the type of wrong image of the fact God doesn't care how we want to live. And sometimes people misunderstand what they're confused by what God is trying to put in his word. It reminds me of a little story about this school teacher who was from England but applied for a job in Switzerland. She accepted the job and went to pick out an apartment. Then when she went back home to get her thing, she was getting ready to move to Switzerland, and it dawned on her that she never remembered seeing a bathroom in her apartment. Well, she wanted to go back and ask the question to the people and say, is there a bathroom near where she lives at? And she uses the word over in England, uses the word water closet. So she shortens it and she abbreviates it and puts WC next to it. And so she wrote to the headmaster in England and the man who hired her and asked her if there was a WC in an apartment near her. Now she's asking if there's a bathroom somewhere nearby, because back then they didn't always have bathrooms indoor. The schoolmaster wasn't familiar with the term WC, so he wanted to find out what she meant. So he didn't want to ask her because he didn't want to look unintelligent. So he went and asked a parish priest for advice. They concluded she must be talking about the Wayside Chapel. And so they wrote back in response, says, "Dear Madam, the WC is located 9 miles from your house in the heart of a beautiful grove of trees, and it will seat 150 people at one time, but it is only open on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday." So there was a little misunderstanding there. So I don't want us to misunderstand this idea of liberty, what God's given us. Liberty is a wonderful thought. That we have the wonderful liberty, but many people confuse it. Many people, they misunderstand it. And you're wondering why I'm playing with my iPad is because of the fact that I have my sermon on here because my computer didn't want to print off my message. So we'll have to use this as long as the battery doesn't run out. So don't worry. It only has 3 hours and 4 minutes. So if I don't get done in 3 hours and 4 minutes, guess what? We're going to be done. So tonight's message is called Walking in the Spirit. And we get confused lots of times about what liberty means. And like I said, many times people use this as an excuse. They use it as an occasion to the flesh, a cloak of maliciousness. And here, the Bible gives us some just really interesting verses on how we can actually have victory over the flesh. Simply put, very easy to understand. And let's look here in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Many people say, "Pastor, I just don't know how to get over the flesh. I do not know how to stop sinning. I cannot conquer this. I can't give up my anger, my bitterness. I can't give up my frustration. I just don't know how to do it." And what the Bible is giving us, the clear-cut answer, is that if we walk in the Spirit, that means taking step by step, day by day, moment by moment, walking in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're not going to do the things of the flesh. Instead, if we're taking it one moment, one step, one choice at a time, and we're walking with God, and we're walking in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, we're not going to give ourselves a chance. We're not going to give ourselves a chance to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Say, what's the lust of the flesh? Well, let's look here in verse number 17. It gives us a little bit more commentary about it. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Say, "Pastor, what do you mean flesh and spirit?" When a person becomes a Christian, they have a new spirit. They have a spiritual side. Say, "What do you mean?" The Holy Spirit of God comes and lives within inside of us. But unfortunately, our fleshly nature and old nature is not banished for good. Someday that will happen in heaven. I am so thankful for that. I will not have to deal with my flesh, will not have to deal with the old nature, but we do have a new nature. The Spirit of God lives within us. And because the Spirit of God lives within us, we have the opportunity no longer to follow after the flesh, no longer to live after the flesh, but instead we can choose to live after the spiritual things and live after the Spirit. But the Bible says here that they're in a war together. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, the which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The Bible is saying here, look, the war is going on inside. There is a flesh and there is a spirit. There's a battle, struggling going on inside. If you're living according to the flesh, you'll be doing the things as verses 19, 20, and 21 says. If you're walking in the spirit, it means that you're going to be walking in love. It means that you're going to be walking in joy. It means that you're going to be walking in peace and walking in long-suffering. So that's the answer there. I can't tell whether or not I'm walking in the spirit or walking after the flesh. Well, how are you living? What is the fruit or the fruits that is coming out? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we're in desperate need of you tonight. God, we need to hear from you. Lord, we thank you for this passage of scripture, and as simple as it is, Lord, help us apply it to our heart and life. Sometimes sin and this flesh gets us so down that we don't think we can have victory. We don't see where the victory comes from. We don't understand, Lord, how to overcome it. But Lord, in this scripture, you tell us if we will just walk in the Spirit, Lord, that we're not going to give ourselves a chance to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to understand and see where the flesh takes us. But also help us to see as we're led by the Spirit of God, Lord, you can help us overcome it. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I want you to see tonight. First, the command to the believer. Secondly, we want to see the contrary of the two, or the fight that's going on. We call it the competition within the believer. And thirdly, the commitment of the believer. So we have three things tonight. First, the command of the believer. Secondly, the competition within the believer. Thirdly, the commitment of the believer. Let's see here. First thing I want you to understand is the command that's given. That's found in verse number 16. It says, walk in the Spirit. Now, Paul here has been talking to them about living according to the liberty that Jesus Christ has given us. He's telling them not to devour one another, not to act out the life of the flesh, not to be fulfilling the lust of the law and the lust of the flesh. And here he says to them, do you want to know how to do that? Because these people are struggling. Remember, this church is there. These people have invaded the church. They're trying to teach them different things. They're trying to tell them they had to fulfill the law. They had to do all these things to make Jesus happy and make God happy in order. And Paul here begins to become very practical in it. And he says, look, if you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, all you have to do is walk in the Spirit. So that's number one, is the command. The command is walk in the Spirit. Now, you say, what are you talking about the Spirit? We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. In John 14:26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Bible is saying there, Jesus is telling us that God is giving us the Holy Spirit of God, and he's going to teach you everything you need to know. You say, Pastor, what about these decisions? I'm not sure which way I should go. What about these gray areas that people talk about? You know what? Either it's right or it's wrong. And, you know, this idea, sometimes we might not think we have the complete interpretation of the Bible and understanding what we should or should not do. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit of God. We can be led by the Holy Spirit of God. God gives us direction once we surrender ourselves to him. He will teach us and show us exactly what he wants us to do. It will never be contrary to the Bible. You say, Pastor, I don't see where the Bible talks about smoking, or I don't see where the Bible talks about these other things. If we look at the Word of God, we apply principles of the Word of God to that and be led of the Holy Spirit of God, you know what? All those answers will come to our knowledge. The problem is that many times we don't submit to the Holy Spirit of God. We don't submit to the leading of God. We don't faithfully walk in God in the steps that he's already showed us, the steps that he's already led to us. We want the answer before we get there. And when we want the answer before we get there, we'll never find out until we're willing to be faithful to begin with. But as we surrender our lives and we give our hearts over to God, and as we're following after the Holy Spirit of God, being led of the Holy Spirit of God, when we come up against an obstacle or a question, you know what? It's not going to be something we're confused about. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us right through. But too often, we don't want to separate. We don't want to do the things that we're supposed to. We want all these decisions ahead of time. Be faithful to God. And that's what he's saying here. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The reminder, the command says, look, this idea of walking speaks of action, it speaks of activity, it speaks of movement, it speaks of progression, it speaks of going forward in our walks with God. Remember, we've been learning, we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. If we're walking in the Spirit, you know what that means? We're agreeing with God. Step by step, we are doing exactly what we know we're supposed to. The Bible speaks much about our walk. And here, I think it's another way you can look at it is about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's the same type of thing. The being led, the being walking in the Spirit, being filled, means that we are yielding or submitting our will to allow the Holy Spirit to control our will and our life. To walk in the Spirit means that we're living in constant condition of maintaining a Spirit-filled life. You say, Pastor, that's impossible. It's not impossible. God would not give us something that is impossible. What he's saying is, if you want true victory in your Christian life, if you truly want to have that walk where you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you say, Pastor, it feels so strong. The pull is so hard. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to be a bitter person. I don't want to be a person that tells a lie. I don't want to have these feelings. You know what? The Bible says if you're willing to surrender yourself completely over to God and walk in the Spirit, you're not going to give yourself a chance to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The second thing is the result of obeying the command. You see the reminder of the command, then you see the result of obeying the command. That means that you do not have to give in. Don't you love it when you have victory? I don't know about you, it's great. When people don't usually jump up and down and say, yes, we lost. You know, you watch basketball games. The Spurs played the Heat last night, and the Spurs beat the Heat, which is good because I'm hoping the Spurs win. Well, the Spurs beat the reigning champion, the Miami Heat. And you know what? When they won, you know what? They were excited. They were jumping up and down. But you know what the losing team was doing? They weren't jumping up and down saying, yes, we lost. You know, they were discouraged. And in our Christian walks, if we get stuck by fulfilling the lust of the flesh, we're going to get discouraged. We're going to get to the spot and say, man, I wish I did not keep on doing this. I wish that I didn't stop reading my Bible. I wish I didn't pray. I wish I would pray more. I wish that I would be a soul winner. I wish that I could stop being sarcastic or stop telling lies. Or I wish somehow I could get past that habit of smoking or that habit of drinking or that habit of looking at the wrong thing or that habit of listening to the wrong things. As Christians, when we're not living for God and if we're desiring to live for God, we become discouraged. Because why? It's because we're doing something we're not supposed to. We're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But the Bible says, you know what the result of obeying the command, walking in the Spirit is? That result is that you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not going to give yourself a chance to go back. Because little by little and step by step, you're doing what you're supposed to. But you say, Pastor, you make it sound so easy. It's not easy. This word lust means a great desire. And that lust of the flesh it is referring to, that word fulfill, it's talking about bringing to an end. It means to complete. It brings to a close, to perform it. And it's a negative connotation here is that you're not going to bring it to an end. You're not going to fulfill this great desire. You can have victory in your Christian life. That's what the Bible is saying. If you want the answer to have victory and how to have a victorious Christian life, it is right here. If you are day by day, moment by moment, surrendering your life to God and just giving over to God for every decision you have, you're not going to give yourself a chance. You're not going to give yourself the chance to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For instance, if you're walking this way and you continue on walking this way, you're not going to go that way at all. Simply put, if you're headed through that wall and you're walking that way, no matter what's going on over there, unless you turn around and go back, you're not going to do it. And that's what the Bible is saying. If you will continually give your surrendered heart and life over to God, then you're not going to have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Second thing I want you to think about is the competition within the believer. The competition within the believer. We've seen that there's this new article out or new thing out, the two little girls that stabbed their friend, I think probably in this Slender Man. Yeah, I don't know if anybody ever saw that in the news or not. There's some character that's on YouTube and different things like that. And these two little girls, 12-year-olds, stabbed their best friend like 19 times to make this mythological creature happy. And the little girl said to me, she says, my good side wanted her to live. My bad side wanted her to die. And these are 12-year-olds. The other girl said, I don't feel any remorse for what I did. And the little girl said, that scares me. And you know, the sad thing that we live in, the day and time we live in, that she recognizes that it was, the one girl recognized it was wrong, but because she was fulfilling the lusts of her flesh, she didn't really bother her. And this is what happens with us as Christians. When the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives within us, there's a war going on between. Say, Pastor, I don't feel a war. Well, sometimes if we keep on feeding the flesh and we keep on making the flesh stronger and stronger, the pull of the Spirit is not that strong. And because of that, the flesh is going to win every time. It's going to be like there is no pull in it at all. We've used that illustration of a dog fight and how if you had one dog that you train and one dog that you feed and one dog that you exercise and you get ready to fight it against another dog who you have not fed and you have not exercised and it's about ready to die. It can't even stand up. It can't even get ready to fight. All it can do is just lay there because of the fact that no one is taking care of it, that the dog that's been trained and the dog that's been taught, the dog that's been worked with, you know what's going to happen? That dog is going to win every time. And in our flesh, in our spirit, the Bible says here, and this is not me, I'm not making it up, it says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and spirit against the flesh, that there is a battle, there is a war. The Bible says, and these are contrary to one to another. They're never going to agree. The flesh is never going to do things that pleases God, and the spirit's never going to do things that please the flesh. And it says, and so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul puts it this way, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, that for the good I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul is saying, look, there's nothing inside my old nature that is a good thing. And he says, the will is present with me. The Holy Spirit of God is present with me. It wants to perform good, but when I rely on my flesh, it always does wrong. And there's a battle within you. I mean, don't you face that? Should I do this or should I not do this? As the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our heart and says, look, you need to live for God, your flesh is going to tell you, look, you don't need to live for God. And you say, well, how can I ever have victory? We got to remember first, the flesh battles the spirit. I don't know about you, but it helps me to understand that when I give in to my flesh, I'm giving in to the devil. I'm becoming a servant of sin. I mean, that's a lousy way to look at it, but it helps me to understand that the devil doesn't anything good for me. The devil doesn't love me. The devil hates me. He wants to do whatever he can to despitefully use me, despise what I'm trying to do for God. And no matter what I'm trying to do, if I give in to my flesh, I'm making him happy and disappointing God. The flesh also brings death. The flesh also brings death. You know what? The world today thinks that we need better housing, thinks that we need better transportation, better education, better jobs. Maybe we had more income. Maybe if we had more better medical care. Maybe if we had a lot of good things that the world could all better. But in all reality, all those desirable things that we have, there's nothing wrong with that, but it does not solve the basic problem of man. The basic problem of man is there is a sin element that lives in us. And that sin must be dealt with. First, that sin must be dealt with through salvation. Secondly, that sin must be dealt with the Spirit of God. How do we deal with that sin? We walk in the Spirit. If we're going to be walking in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is a competition that's fighting within us. Who are we feeding more? Who are we giving more meat to? Are we reading our Bible more than we are maybe watching TV? Are we listening to godly music more than we're listening to the world's music? Are we spending more time praying with God? Are we spending more time speaking to others that are not helping our Christian walk? Which side are we feeding? And if we can understand this, if we can get this in our hearts and we can get this in our mind, there is a competition that happens within us. And that competition many times wants the flesh wants you to be smiling, the flesh wants you to retaliate. The Spirit of God is saying, forgive. The flesh wants you to do things wisely, but the Spirit is telling you, look, you need to make sure that you do things wisely. There's a competition it's always facing here. And Paul was telling this church of Galatia here, he's saying, look, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he goes in verse number 17, he talks about the competition, how the Spirit and the flesh are fighting one another. And this is a point that helps me a little bit, is I can't please both at the same time. And that's what we got to be careful with for our lives. This is something I talk to people about when it comes to music. I tell you, either it's going to be fulfilling, it's going to be pleasing God, or it's going to be pleasing the flesh. It can't do both at the same time. You get in some heavy metal Christian rock music, and you say, well, you're just putting, it's got good words. Well, the music's not pleasing God, but the words, you can't please both at the same time. Right. And we got to be careful there. And that's what you got to remember, that you say, well, if I do this, this part's good and this part's bad. You know, either you're going to be pleasing one or the other. And that's where discernment comes in. And that's why it's important that we be discerning of what is right and what is wrong. You say, Pastor, how do I know that answer? You be led by the Spirit of God. You walk in the Spirit. It's simply saying, decision by decision, I'm going to choose to live for God today. I'm going to choose to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to choose to read my Bible. I'm going to choose to pray. And as I get down and start walking and go, and as I see somebody that I know that I should invite to church, I'm going to choose to invite him to church. You say, Pastor, I don't want to do that part. You know, then we're not being walking in the Spirit. We're not being led of the Spirit of God. We can't have part of it and not have all of it. Because if that's the case, it's like I'm walking this way and I say, okay, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to treat my kids, my wife right. And look, it comes to soul winning and says, oh, I'm not going to do that. It's like you're going this way. You're not headed down the same path. And then you say, okay, well, I want to do this. And then you say, no, I'm not going to give this up. I'm not going to forgive this person. And then you're turning around. It's either you're walking in the Spirit or you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. It's impossible. That's what the competition's all about. And the question I have tonight is, even though I want to walk this way, and even though it seems like I'm trying my best to walk this way, what is it that keeps on turning me around? Because when we start turning around, that's when we give our flesh an opportunity to sin. You say, I want to have victory over this. I haven't had victory in a long time over this. Well, that means it is a constant walk and a decision to face, to do the things that God wants me. Look what it says in the last thing. You see here in verse number 18, he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. It's not just a command. It's not just about the competition. But here is the commitment. It's that I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, the thing I find here interesting is in the Spirit of God, it's not going to take you and put a chain around you and drag you. This is leading. This is, you know, Brother Jim can get up there and he can sing the choir, he can lead the choir. But if the bassists decide they want to sing another song, and we got some kind of honorary basses up there, you know, they turn around and say, well, I didn't really like the song Brother Jim picked. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to start singing Row, Row Your Boat. You know, Brother Jim can only lead them, right? He can't make them sing, you know, to God be the glory. The basses are up there and the sopranos, they hear that the bassists are singing a different song. And he says, well, I thought Brother Jim should have picked Amazing Grace. And they start singing Amazing Grace. Guess what? Brother Jim can be up there leading all he wants. But if they're not going, he can't force them to do it. Now, we can throw them out of the choir, right? We can fire them if we need to. I mean, we can dock their pay. The choir doesn't get paid, just so you know. You know, we can do all those things, but the Holy Spirit of God, he's not going to take you. He's not going to drag you. He's not going to force you to try to follow after him. You know what? He wants to lead you. But sometimes it feels like what we want him to do is that we want to do the things we want to. And because of that, we're not being led. And because of that, we're not going to have a holy life. And that's what it all boils down to. It's pretty easy. It's pretty laid out there, pretty good for us. Walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's the answer to the biggest struggle a Christian has. How can I defeat my flesh? Once we're saved, once we're on the way to heaven, how can I know what I'm supposed to do? Well, it's found right here. But it's one of the most difficult things in the world to do. But that's why verse 18, it says that God shows you the way. He leads you. The only way we can be what God wants us to be is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never coerces us, never compels us, never puts us under pressure, never bullies us. He does not drive us. He leads us. He leads us. We follow. He leads us into all truth. He shows us what the answer is. That's the question that so many people have. Pastor, how come this is going on? Or Pastor, why can't? And I tell them, look, it's your job to get as close to God as you can. Follow the leading of God in every area of your life and then allow God to show you and direct you what he thinks you think is best as you follow after God. But you cannot know the answers on how to fix your family. You cannot know the answers on how to fix your job. You cannot know how to answer the answers to fix your financial things until you're willing to walk in the Spirit. Because other times and other things, you're going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is an essential part of the Christian life. In fact, the presence of the Holy Spirit is the most valuable asset that we have as Christians. If we walk in the path of righteousness and he leads us into all truth and we go step by step, gently and understandingly and unerringly, the Holy Spirit of God teaches us. How does he teach us? He teaches us in the quiet times when we read our Bible. He teaches us through preaching. He teaches us through what circumstances of life. He teaches us sometimes by restraining us, sometimes by assuring us, sometimes by reproving us, sometimes by encouraging us. But he leads us, but he never drives us. Now, see, that's the difference. The flesh will drive you. The flesh will do whatever it can to try to pull you into doing what it can. The devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil has always been contrary to the God of the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. There is a constant battle, constant pulling one of another. The flesh will put whatever they can to cause you to sin. But God, he convicts your heart, but he just wants to lead you. No one's ever forced you to become a Christian. No one's ever forced you to live a Christian life. It goes back to this idea of liberty and love. I have the liberty to do whatever I want, and I'm not going to lose my salvation. But that's the misuse of our liberty. I think there's a lot of people in our America today that misuse the liberty. I think when somebody burns a flag, I think that's the misuse of liberty. When someone says they have a right to have an abortion, I think that's the misuse of liberty. You know, they use this separation of church and state. That's a whole other message. They misuse their liberties. But Christian misuses their liberties when they use it as an occasion to the flesh. The liberty we have is a liberty and freedom to no longer be under the power of the sin. We now have the choice to choose to serve God. How do we choose to serve God? It's a walk with him. We have to agree with him. Many people go to the doctor for routine checkups. And sometimes what this doctor does, he practices something called early detection. And the purpose of this is to find out the problems before they come too serious. Lots of times people are able to deal with different forms of cancers because the doctor catches it early enough. They run series of tests to detect any potential problems and notify their patients of any areas of concern. Does anybody really like to have exams and tests by doctors? I don't. I don't like to have those things done. I mean, has anybody really lined up to have a colonoscopy done just because they wanted to have one done? No. But why do we do that? It's because of the fact that for the early detection. The Holy Spirit can act as our early detection doctor. We need to put ourselves under the checkup of the Holy Spirit of God and allow him to help us find the areas of concern and help it to do it early detection. Say, Pastor, I don't understand why I got to go to church every single service. Well, that's your choice. But the Holy Spirit of God maybe has you in church for every single service to help you for early detection that there might be areas in the future you need that. Pastor, I don't understand why God doesn't give me liberty to do this. I think I should be able to, he doesn't leave me here, he doesn't leave me there. Well, he knows what's best for us. And as he knows what's best for us, he's not going to lead us and direct us into a place that we cannot handle. Well, I'm ready. I can go over and I can do this. I can do that. I can go over to Africa and I can eat those bugs that those missionaries talk about eating. And I can go live with those people that are willing to kill those that are Christians. I'm willing to do all that. Well, God's asking you to read your Bible. God's asking you to pray. You know, if somebody busted in here tonight with guns and said, recant or deny Jesus Christ or die, probably most of us would say, you know what, we're not going to deny Christ, even if it costs us our life. But God hasn't called us to that field. But God has called you to read your Bible. And that's a step in the right direction. God has called you to pray. That's a step in the right direction. God has called you to be a witness. That's a step in the right direction. God's called you to be faithful to church. That's a step in the right direction. That's the leading of the Spirit of God. God's called you to tithe. You say, Pastor, what about being a martyr? If God leads you that way, as you're going down the path and following the rest of the direction, then you'll be able to face that decision when it comes because you've been led of the Holy Spirit of God to it. But so often we don't want to follow this path that he's already given us. I tell people over and over, don't make decisions especially when somebody talks about leaving a church, leaving their husband or wife, or doing something that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. Don't make a decision unless you're completely right with God. Unless you've been praying about it, unless you've been reading your Bible, unless you've been being a soul winner. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, being a soul winner, the giving, all the things you know that you're supposed to be doing, that's going to lead you into the path you're supposed to go. And you're going to give the Holy Spirit of God a chance to be able to be led of the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. But over here, if you don't do those things, you're giving your flesh a chance to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look what it says here in verses 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Go all the way down to verse number 21. It says, at the end, it says, revelings and such like. And it doesn't just stop there. It's saying, I could list you a whole big bunch of things, but there's so much more we can say. But then you go to verses 22 and 23, and you see the fruit of the Spirit. You know, which one of those really describes us best? The next few weeks, and however the Lord leads, not next week, but it's the week after that, however the Lord leads, we're going to look at these verses, and we're going to talk about walking in these fruits, or this fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about walking in love. We're going to talk about walking in joy and walking in peace. We're going to look at these things and say, is this really part of who I am? So, Pastor, not everybody can walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The Bible's saying that if we are walking in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, that you can be a person that has love, that has joy, that has peace, that has long-suffering, that has gentleness, goodness, faith. It doesn't say, hey, pick three of the ten, and you can have those three. It's saying that the fruit, if you notice that little word there at the beginning of verse 22, and the fruit of the Spirit. You go up to verse number 19, it says the works of the flesh. That means there's all different types. But the fruit of the Spirit is all those things. We can have victory in all those areas. But where does it start? It starts all the way up here in verse number 16. What does it say? If we walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's the greatest answer to the question that so many Christians have asked. How do I get over certain sin? And there are different things, memorizing scripture. There's different other things, setting up safeguards, using other individuals to keep you accountable. There's all types of things that can help you in your walk in the Spirit. But it begins with taking a walk in the Spirit. It begins with being right with God, confessing your sin, forsaking your sin. Then you find mercy. Then you begin your step of, hey, I need to read my Bible because I need to think about my Bible. I need to memorize scripture. I need to do all these things. Say, Pastor, I can't do it. All you got to do is take one step at a time. God knows how much you can know. God knows how much you can learn. God knows when you're putting forth a good effort. You don't have to convince him of it. God knows when you're trying. And that's all he wants you to do is walk in the Spirit. How do I do it? You be led of God. How do I be led of God? Do the things you know that you're supposed to do today. And then trust him to show you tomorrow. You're not going to have all the answers for the rest of your life. But you can have the answer what you're supposed to do tomorrow. Even what you're supposed to do tonight. Tonight, are we walking in the Spirit? Or are you fulfilling the lust of the flesh? If we went down those lists, you might say, I'm not a murderer, I'm not drunkenness, I'm not revelings, or I'm not idolatry or witchcraft. I don't do any of those things. But then we also look at that list of the fruit of the Spirit and say, you know what? I don't have much love, I don't have much joy, I don't have much peace, I don't have much long-suffering. You know, it's either one or the other. What are we fulfilling today? Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's try God at it. Let's say, okay, God, I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm going to let you lead and direct my paths on what I should be doing. And let you take care of the rest. Because it's about how much we love him. It's not about what liberty we have to do or not do. It's not about doing. The flesh, and I'll end with this. The flesh will get you dressed up on Sunday morning and get you to church. The flesh will even sing you in the choir. Will even teach a Sunday school class. The flesh will do anything to prove that it's doing and doing and doing. And the idea that that's what pleases God. As long as you're not right with God, the flesh could care less what it does. Because that's what all these Judaizers were about. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. But it's about being. It's not about doing. It's about being in love with God. It's about being in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. It's about following after God. I had a preacher one time tell me, he says, you can write tons of messages. The flesh, you can write lots of talented things. As an individual, you can have all types of things. You know, the devil will give you lots of different points because he could care less if you're preaching in the flesh, because that won't accomplish anything. He said, what bothers him is when you are being led of God. The sermons might not be as attractive. They might be not as fluent. They might not be as easy to listen to. But if you're walking in the Spirit and being led of the Spirit, you know what? That's when the devil cares. The flesh can get you up to do lots of different things. But it's when you say, I want to be right with God in my whole entire life. And each day by day, I'm going to make a step to be walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. That's when the devil is going to start taking attention. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.